We're doing the class on the Jewish home. We discussed last week, Bishvil Mi Nivra HaOlam, who is the world created for, the concept of we, that we have to shift from me to we, the idea that we can evolve into feeling and caring for our wife, to the point where it's our wife's leg is hurting us. And we discussed the idea that when I view it as we, then I'm not compromising. I'm doing what's good for us. It's not I'm compromising for you, but rather, if this wasn't good for us, then we're coming to a conclusion of what's right for us. It's not a compromise. Once that's my perspective, it shifts from being a compromise to a mutual decision. And that's a world of a difference. That's what we discussed last week. Okay. This week, we're going to discuss details. Okay? So I want to go around the class for a minute, and I want you each to tell me what... Okay, we'll take this. Can you tell me what this is? Go ahead. What can you tell me? What is that? This. What is that?
It's not your watch. Maybe you got it from your wife.
What is this?
It's a watch. There's a mechanism to count time, build, buy.
Okay. What is this? 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 What is this?
A watch.
What is this? Okay. Now, female class. Okay, all you men are all simple men. Boy. Okay, now let's shift to the woman's class. Okay, Lucy, what is this? Oh, that's a watch. My friend has one just like that. She bought one for her husband, and she has a matching one. And you know, but the one she got didn't have black wristband. It had a brown wristband. And she, her husband says that the silver in the background always drives him crazy. But you know, she and I went to the store together to choose it, and it was very, very nice. Lucy, we heard enough from you. Let's go on to Susie. Susie, what do you see there? Oh, that's a watch. You know, nowadays people don't wear watches. Have you noticed that? Everyone's always looking at their cell phones. And on Shabbos, they don't know the time. But I value people who have watches, because those are people who look to tell the time. And they, Susie, we heard you. Okay, Becky, can you tell us what's over here? Oh, that's a watch. That's a very pretty watch. I always like that blend between silver and black. It's exactly what I would have chosen for my husband. You see, you simple men, I'm also one of us, right? We just say, it's a watch, it's a watch, it's a watch. Well, there was once... you all said the same thing. No two self-respecting women would do that. There's so much to say about that watch. Why are you just saying it's a watch? So there was once a class where they a class on marriage building. So they divided into two groups, and each group was given a list of questions to answer. And when they regrouped, so the one in charge of the groups turned to the men's group and said, okay, Bob, can you please tell me, how many people in your group have kids? So Bob looks at him and says, that wasn't one of the questions. So he goes, I know. He says, okay, Jack, can you tell me, please, how many of the people in your group are on good terms with their in-laws? And he looks at him and says, that wasn't one of the questions. And he goes on and he goes, Frank, can you tell me, how many people in your group are here because they have money issues with their spouse? And he looks at him and says, that wasn't on the question list. He says, fine. He turns to the women's group and he says, is there anyone in your group that doesn't know how many of you have kids? No hand goes up. He says, wait, guys, it wasn't on the question list. How come all the girls know that? Every one of them knows that how many kids the other one has. So when we get together, we were given a list of questions. Boom, boom, boom. You asked us the questions. We filled them out. Great. When women get together, let's start talking about all kinds of details that are besides the point, but we're going to get to know one another. So we talk details. Men, that's a watch. Women, there's a lot more to say about that watch. So what happens when you and your wife sit down to talk about which watch you're going to buy? So your wife says a whole lot of things, and your patients are done. It's a watch. Why do we have to talk about all those details? It's built in. We're very different. If you'll pay attention, once when children are little, boys and girls, you ask your girl what was school like, and she can tell you, she could go on and on for a half hour, and this is when she's 5 or 6. You ask your son what was school like, and he goes, huh? What was school like? I don't know. What, did you have a good day today? Yeah. Finished. And it's like pulling teeth. You ask your girl, she's got a lot to tell you. You know, my daughter, when she was like 6 or 7, she started explaining to us how the teacher moves her hair away from her face like this with the back of her hand. She's giving me this whole explanation of how you move hair out of your eyes. She could talk for 5 minutes on that. And I'm wondering, I never noticed the difference if you do this or that or this, you know. But for girls, details, details, details. Now, those details come to play in many places where we don't expect them. Let's take one example. When we buy a suit, so how much do we notice? So you might spend a certain amount of time buying a suit and a shirt and a tie. How much time do you expect you'll spend buying your clothing for the wedding? For the average guy, I don't know, you'll go to 1 store, 2 stores, 3, 4 stores, okay? You go to 4 different stores to buy a suit and a tie and a shirt, right? You will spend a total of maybe 3 hours till you've bought a suit, right? If they were really slow at the stores, and you might spend less than that. How much time do you think your kala is going to spend finding the right wedding gown? Days, right? This can go on. She can go to the salon in Rehovot and in Yerushalayim and in Beit Shemesh, and she could go test them all out and then come back again and look again. So what happens when we have to go out for a wedding together, or we want to go out on a date together? So she starts asking you, do you like these earrings? And does this necklace match? And do my shoes match my dress? And what about this head covering? Does it match too? Now what color eyeshadow do you want me to put on? And is this the lipstick that you like? And you think that you don't care. But you do care. You care about the outcome. When you look at the final product, you're happy if she's dressed nicely. But you don't want to spend the time on the details. Leave me alone. But if this is how they view the world and this is how we view the world, so how do we match? So let's begin with a few basic tools. Number one, what's more important on a show of hands? The gift or the wrapper? How many people say the gift? How many people say the wrapper? The rest of you are scared of getting in trouble. Okay. Your wife brings you a gift, and it's your birthday. So you see the gift, you see the note. Oh, what a nice note. Put it on the side. You see the wrapper, tear it open. You see the wallet, you start analyzing it. Ah, it's got the zipper so I could keep my change in perfect. It's made of excellent leather. It won't keep me hot. It's got all the slots for my different cards. That's amazing. It's got one slot for money. It's got another slot for money. I could keep separate bills if I have American, Israeli, Canadian. Wow, it's amazing. You thank your wife. You put it in your pocket. You tell her this is amazing. Okay. Now it's your turn. Her birthday's coming up. You want to buy her a pocketbook. So you're a great husband. You're going to invest a lot of time. You go online, you research all the pocketbooks. You bring it down to 3 different pocketbooks. Now you start looking at which stores have them, because you're not going to buy it online. You want to check it out. You want to make sure it has all the things she needs. So you run around town and you start going to different stores and you look at the different pocketbooks, and finally you find one that seems right. You tell them you want a different shade. They bring in the different shade. You come in and you look at it. It's got the zipper. She'll have where to keep her change. It's got the different compartments. She'll be able to use it smartly. It's made out of fine leather. She'll enjoy carrying it. The strap is exactly the length that she likes holding her pocketbook. Everything's perfect. You tell them, I want you to put the letters of her name. What do they call that?
Initial.
Initial it, right? Okay, fine. Comes the day of her birthday, they call you, it's ready. You run to the store, she's coming home from work. You run to the store, you pick up the pocketbook, you look at it, you check it out, the zipper works fine, everything's perfect. You come home out of breath, and she comes in 90 seconds after you. You have it in a bag, you just got it from the store, and you're all out of breath, and you have it behind your back, and she walks in, and you go, "Happy birthday." And she smiles and you smile. Then you take it out from behind your back. There's this bag. You got it from the store, right? You say, "I got you something." Right? So she goes over to it. And she takes it out of the bag. And she looks. Now, this is classical, by the way. If it doesn't happen to you the first year marriage, it'll happen the second. If not the second, the third. Eventually, you'll hit the point where you sort of get the gift, but you didn't wrap it. And you didn't put a card on it. You didn't put that nice little flower that they attached to it. You could have filled it with a few goodies that she likes, but you didn't do that either. When you got your wallet, you didn't even notice there was a note in each compartment, right? She took the time. You open the zipper. There's a little note. "I love you." You put it on the side and forget about it. Okay, and you think it's all cute, but, right? But you didn't do any of that for her. So we go back to our Snoopy example last week. You remember? We ended with the peanuts. Lucy gets Charlie Brown. She gets him a lefty mitt. He says, "But I'm a righty." She says, "Yeah, this way you'll have a gift to give me. My birthday's around the corner," right? That's what we do. She gives the gift, and we analyze it through our male eyes. What's good about it, practically? But she invested in all the details. We give the gift. We don't invest in all the details. If we would take note from what she did, then we would give her the gift the way she gave us the gift. The wrapper is not less important than the gift. The note is not less important than the gift. The note, the wrapper, the little notes inside, they make a huge difference. Now, the major challenge in all this is 10 years down the road and 20 years down the road. We had a couple here. One of my first years in the Mahon, he confided in me that he wasn't yet Jewish. He was in our gear department. Okay, when I first came here, I had no clue. I'll tell you a little secret. I still forget who is and who isn't. When they ask me if we have a minion or not, I don't know. I don't remember who's in the gear department, who's Jewish, who's not yet Jewish. Okay, whatever. So the guy tells me he's going to undergo gear. Okay. And then he says, "We want you to be our rabbi." I said, "You know, I'm not a local Orthodox rabbi. Back then I didn't have a community." I said, "Find someone else." He says, "No, I've been going to your classes. We want you to be our rabbi." "Leave me alone. Find someone else." He comes back to me. I discuss with my wife. "We want you to be the rabbi. We want you to guide our family." I said, I'd rather not. I'd rather you find someone else." "No," they come back. They insist. I said, "Okay, if you insist, then you have to listen to me." So he said, "Sure, we'll listen to you." I said, "You sure you're going to listen?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Fine. You're going to the Rabbanut Be'ezat Hashem in 2 weeks. You're going to dunk and finish your conversion. Your wife is going to finish her conversion. And then you're going to marry her again as a Jew." Okay? Technically, halachically, there's no Sheva Brachos because neither one of you is a virgin, right? You've both been married before. So you're going to have one day of Sheva Brachos, right? A little wedding. They'll tell you Mazel Tov at the mikvah. And then you'll go on with life. Pause. Your wife deserves Sheva Brachos. So you're going to take a few days off of work. And you're going to enjoy with her. He looks at me and says, "Rabbi, I don't have time." I said, "Look, you told me I should be your rabbi. If I'm your rabbi, I'm telling you, you have to take time and show her you love her. Have some dates. Walk around with her. Invest time with her." He sighs like, "Who knows?" I said, "And aside from that, every morning, afternoon, and night, you write her a little note that tells her how much you adore her and how lucky you feel that you married her for 7 days. Sheva Brachos." And the guy sits back in his chair as though I just socked him in the stomach, and he goes, "No!" I said, "What happened?" I said, "What's the big deal?" He says, "I don't know how to write notes." I said, "Fine, take out a piece of paper." And I start writing. And I write him like 6 or 7 samples of notes. I said, "Read, okay? Read. What does it say? To my beloved, I am so happy we have reforged our connection. Life was great until now. It's only going to become better now. I'm so happy we started this journey together. Love, pa pa pa. Next, I write him 6 samples. I said, you don't have to be a poet. Just write notes. I said, it's mine. You're not writing my notes. You're writing your notes. And it's going to be meaningful to you. And we will re-meet. We will reconvene after Sheva Brachos. The guy says, do I have to? I said, hey, buddy, you said you want me to be your rabbi, right? So I'm telling you, this is what you got to do. You owe it to your wife. Make her happy. Write her these notes. And he looks at me like I'm the cruelest person on earth. I say, there's no way out. You want to be the right husband. You're supposed to be. You're doing this for 7 days. And we're going to meet at the end of 7 days. So the guy shows up at the end of Sheva Brachos. And he says, you won't believe what happened. I say, okay, what happened? He says, I gave her the first note. First day, right? We got married again. I gave her the first note. And she smiles. So I say, you like it? She says, yeah. I say, okay. And then I try to take it back. And she says, what are you doing? And I said, what are you doing? She says, you gave me this note. It's mine. He goes, okay, where are you going to put it? She goes, it's mine. And then he says to me, like a little girl, she goes and hides it somewhere. He says, then the next note, the same thing. She takes it and she hides it somewhere. Now you have to understand, this couple is in their late 30s, early 40s. They've been married a few decades. He says to me, every note she cherishes and puts away. I don't even know where she hid them. I said, you see it meant something to her? You see it was important to her? He says, yeah, I would have never believed it, you know. After all these years, it's important to her. Yeah, guys, this class is important, not only for now. This class is important because as marriage goes on, we have less patience. When you first get married, then you tell yourself, okay, she's interested in all these details, I'll be nice. You actually remember this class, and then you give her a gift with the notes and all the paraphernalia, I hope. And you have to remember, to them, the note is very often more important than the gift itself. The key here is remembering this 10 years down the road and 20 years down the road. And that means that she wakes up one morning and she tries to put her foot into her shoe and she can't get it in. And she says, what's that? And she pulls out a little ball, and inside that, you know, those eggs that you get it, you put in a shekel and you turn it and an egg comes out. You got one for her. And instead of the fake ring, you leave inside a nice chocolate and you leave inside a nice note. You got to be romantic all of married life. And that's very hard. It's you keep things exciting, and the key here is details, details, details. So I know a guy that once a month he will come back home when his wife is out and surprise her and leave notes all around the house. So he'll leave a note on the clock, climb up and put a note on the clock that says, time to remember I love you. And he'll leave a note by the laundry bin that says, wow, you're doing our laundry again, you're amazing. And he'll leave a note inside the oven that says, I can't wait to eat your scrumptious food. And you think he's young. No, they're married a long time. But so what? I said this class a few years ago, and I said you could even do a scavenger hunt, right? You leave your wife a note with a poem, and you say the next note is, and then she has to figure out where the next note is, and then you leave her a little chocolate there, and you leave the next note telling her how much you love her, and you lead her around the house, and she could do this when you're not home. So it was very interesting. I leave my house one day, and there's an envelope waiting outside the house. And the envelope says, time for you to get some of your own medicine, Rabbi. And the next note is, under your seat and shoe. And I'm thinking, this isn't my wife's handwriting. Someone had listened to the class, and it worked so well in his house that he decided to do this on me. Someone had come out to Kochav Yaakov, and he left me these little chocolates or whatever, and he sent me on the scavenger hunt, and then I found out who it was. But it was his way of saying thank you, because he was married decades. And then he tried this, and it suddenly added life to their marriage, this little writing a note and leading to the next one. So when we speak about details, we don't have patience for them. We have to take a step back and realize we're married to someone who lives off of them. Everything they're worried about which earring, and when you set the table for a simcha, what color are the tablecloths going to be, what color are the napkins going to be, what color are the plates going to be, what color are the dishes going to be, what color are the cups going to be, are things going to match? And you ask us, like, who cares? You know, I didn't see our wedding hall till the day we got married. It was important to my wife, it was important to her parents, it was important to my parents, it wasn't important to me. So whatever you guys want, I'll come. You know, it doesn't matter to me. But, as it says in the Tiferes Yisrael on Pirkei Avos, part of our job is to show that we care. It's not fair to say I don't care. Your wife says if she wants to consult with you, we have to go into their court and talk details. This is unnatural to us. Your wife will want to consult with you about all kinds of details. Got to be there with her. And when we give gifts, we have to go back and look at the details in order to make the gift meaningful. That means adding little notes, and the notes are more important than the gift. You're going to show up and get engaged and married, right? So at your engagement, hopefully you'll give your wife a gift, maybe a leather-bound sitter. It's important that you go and get her name in gold writing on it. It's important that there's a note inside. She will cherish the note more than the sitter. It's important when you're in the Cheder Yichud and you give her a leather-bound Tehillim that it has her name written on it in gold letters with her new last name. It's important that there's a note inside with it. When you give her a piece of jewelry, it's important that a note comes with it. And here I'm going to tell you something which I hope you guys don't mind. It's a little bit advanced, but this is a mature group. When you're going to be intimate with your wives, so men become mutes in the bedroom. Suddenly a man can't say a word. You should know that what will make your wife happiest is if, leading up to intimacy, you can express with your words details of appreciation, how much you appreciate her as a human being, as a wife, as a mother, as a Jew. The words, the details that you can tell her of appreciation are what will move her. And you should know that we are very similar. If I go over and I say, you're a great guy. Thanks. Rabbi said I was a great guy. But if I go over and say, you know, your questions add to the class, and your comments are always enriching, and when you don't come, the class is totally different. I added three details instead of saying in a general, you're a great guy, you walk away, you're on cloud nine. So details to us also matter in many areas of our life. It's true that to them it matters in areas that we really couldn't care less about, like the whole story about who owned that watch. So that's where we have to adapt to their style. And I want to end with a tool that you'll be able to use in a lot of life. This can be played in multiple directions. You have to use it intelligently and with integrity. Point number one is focusing on details. So we'll start with Leo's a big guy. I don't want to mess with him. Leo comes over to me and says, Rabbi, I'm really upset at you. This didn't happen, but let's imagine for a minute. Okay? He comes to me and says, you know, the other day you made a joke about Canadians and I'm really upset. And I go, Leo, you know, it's a very nice yarmulke. Before we continue, did you make it yourself? Or where can I get a yarmulke like that? Now, this might sound funny, but for many people, if you can switch the subject to a detail that's completely irrelevant, and you could get them to talk about it for a minute, then you've automatically calmed them down, and sometimes they won't even come back to the point at hand. So you can't make it as obvious as I just made it. But this is a tool that can be used easily with children and with a little bit more intelligence with adults as well. So with children, when... how old is she? I guess she's 4.5. I have a 4.5-year-old that's at a stage where she's a kvetch. And she can get to bedtime and start crying about everything. So how do you get her off her crying mode? I say to her, you know, your pajamas are so nice. Did you wear them before this? I don't remember seeing them on you this week. Did you wear them last night? And suddenly she looks down her pajamas, and she's in cloud nine. Oh, yeah, they are nice. And she forgot what she was crying about. So what's the classical male approach? You walk over to her and you say, Sarah, why are you crying? And she continues crying. And you say, what's bothering you? And she cries even louder. And you say, if you don't explain it to me, then I can't help you, right? Very simple male logic, right? We have to stop being these simple males. There's more to life than being a simple, direct male. This is a female tool, but it works. You walk over and you say, Sarah, in a second I want to hear about why you're crying, but did you notice that the slippers you're wearing are the shape of a frog? You know, they're just like the frogs that Paro had. You start off topic. She looks at them. You say, yeah, can we imagine that they're frogs as you bounce your way to bed? And suddenly she's in a different place. She's with you. The ability to focus on a detail is a phenomenal tool. And one more example where you could use this in a marriage. This breaks down to two places. You promised your wife you'd be home at 8. It's 7:55 and you're still on the bus, and you're not going to be home till 8:35, 8:40. So what does the classical male do? Well, what do you do? Guys, it's 7:55. Right, classical male number one does nothing. And he spends the whole time thinking, I'm going to get home at 8:30, and then I'm going to talk about the traffic, and who knows what else, right? That's classical male one. What else does a classical male do? Give a call and say what?
I'll be late.
I'll be late, right? Straight. Notice? Straight. Yes, this is the fact. I said 8, and I'm not going to be home at 8. Boom. I agree. I'm that way too. We're here to learn other tools. What else does a classical male do? You're all scared.
Send a message, texting.
Right, that's another classical male. I don't want to have to explain myself. I don't want to talk about it. So you send a text, right? Running late, going to be there at 8:30. So sorry. Okay. Now here's a beautiful tool. You can use any of these, and you will have to face up to the reality. You said you're going to be home at 8. You are not home at 8, and it's not fair. And don't expect me. I had supper hot for you, and I'm going to reheat it, and my whole schedule is off, and pa 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 pa. You know the line. Okay. Now, let's use female logic. You call home, and you talk details. This is unnatural to us, but here's what you do. You call home and say, you couldn't believe the stuffiness on this bus. I'm standing here, and I think sardines are more comfortable than I am. And the driver keeps driving and stopping such that the guy in back of me, who's trying to write, keeps poking me with his pen every other minute. And you have no idea how much I want to be home. I'm standing here just thinking about how I'd love to be home, but you start talking about details. You know, the exhaust isn't working well on this bus. I'm breathing the fumes every minute. I hope I will live to get home. You know, start talking about it. And the car in front of us is a new driver, and she's taking up the full lane, and the driver just can't move. We're driving at a snail's pace. Traffic here has been horrendous. The classical male line, traffic. Talk about everything else. Talk about the details of what's going on the bus. So to us, this isn't the way we would talk. We're very straight, right? Very simple. I am going to be late. I said 8, and I'm going to be there 8:30, and I'm sorry. I got carried away at work. Very straight, very simple. Doesn't work. Try talking about details, and suddenly she'll sympathize with you. Suddenly she's going to be telling you, oh, I feel so bad for you, and what a ride. Now, men really want that sympathy, and they don't know how to get it. Men would like to hear that their wife sympathizes with them, and half the time they're wondering, why don't I get that sympathy? Why did I marry someone so cold? Do I give her an opportunity to share that sympathy? Do I share with her the things she needs to hear in order to express that sympathy? I got to go into the details. A woman comes back from a root canal. What does she say? You know, I was sitting there in the waiting room, and just hearing the drill going, my heart started beating. I was sitting there, you know the smells as you're sitting in the dentist's office. I'm sitting there, and every time they call someone, I want to get it over with, and my heart is palpitating. What's the classical male response? You don't say it, but you think it. Lady, we all go through this. Could you please finish the story? But how does a woman tell the story? She starts in the waiting room. She's going to tell you about the smells of the waiting room, the patients of the waiting room, the heat or the cold of the waiting room. You guys are all bored out of your wits from this class. I know, because this is not the way we talk. But if you come back from the dentist and you say, oh my gosh, I got a root canal, and it's really painful. And she goes, oh. And what you want to hear is, oh, how's it feeling? Share some details. You'll get the sympathy. But if you talk male style, then she doesn't know how to respond. If you start telling her about the experience you went through, then you'll get the response you want to get. So that's our subject today. Details, details, details. We discussed they need the details in the gifts. They need the details in the notes. We overlook the details, and they are very often more important than the gift itself. They need the details in the appreciation. If we share details with them, we could gain their sympathy, which we very often don't gain. And so details are a tool in communication with women that we overlook, and it's a phenomenally powerful tool in our communication. Okay, we will go.